No, I set up the computer myself this morning. Okay. We're in the Avlam Ches. Avlam Ches by the Abayaluhu. So we're talking about now they're feeding this fodder to the animal as sort of a test to determine whether or not the speckles of the in the eye or the water in the water in the eye is a permanent mum. So you have the dry fodder or the fodder that comes from the field in the dry season and in the rainy season. So the Gemara asks, "Hibayilhu lach bisman lach, the yavish bisman the yavish, holdim lach the yavish bisman lach." When you feed the fodder to the moist fodder, you have to feed the moist fodder during the time that it's moist, which means we discussed yesterday during Adar and Nisan, and yavish be yavish, and you feed the dry. You have to feed the fodder during its season, right? Or you can take the lach of yavish and feed them both in the zman lach. Feed them both at the moist time. They don't ask whether that you could feed the moist during the dry, because if you wait, it will obviously be dry. The question is whether you can feed the dry during the moist season. They'll save it and feed it then. So Tashma, an answer to Amar Vidi Bar Avin, Amar Vitzi Bar Ashion, Adar v'Nisan lach el v'tishrei yavish. During the months of Adar Nisan, you give the moist fodder, and during the months of El and Tishrei, you give dry. So you see that the moist is given during the moist season, and the dry is given during the dry season. Rashi says, no. Who says that's a proof? Dilma peiri de El v'tishrei machlin leba Adar v'Nisan. No, maybe what they're saying is Adar v'Nisan lach El v'tishrei yavish. That's the type of food you give them, and you can give it to them during Adar Nisan. You can give it. You can save it. You can save the dry fodder and give it to him during the moist season. They don't have an answer to that. Now the Gemara is going to ask him how much you have to give for this treatment to be effective. The kama machilin also, and how much of the moist and dry fodder you have to feed the bechor on the days of the exam that you're testing it. So, hum Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Pinchas ben Aruva, how much could grogeres? Size of a fig, right? A dry fig is a grogeres. That's how much you have to give. Okay? So now the Gemara asks, okay, wait a second. You have to give, you feed the animal multiple times during the day. Do you have to give, there are two ways to explain this. Do you have to give the grogeres only during the first meal? Or do you have to give the grogeres during this fodder during every meal? Others explain, I like this explanation better, the grogeres, does it have to be given at one shot? Or can it be broken up throughout the meal? What does it say on the prescription? How many times a day do you have to take the antibiotics? So I'm a rabba. Boy, even my rabba. Do you have to give this amount of the fodder during the first meal, right? Is it only at the first meal, I guess? Right? Only during the first meal? Or do you say that you have to give it the whole suda, at each meal, right? So, intim same over suda, if you say you have to give it at every single meal, right? You decide you have to give if it's a little bit of suda, you only give it the first meal. The question is now, when do you take the medication? Before you eat your regular meal, or after you eat the regular meal? What? Right. So here the Gemara is going to say differently. Those days they always took the medicine on an empty stomach. Now they tell us don't take the medicine on an empty stomach. I believe them. So the intim zeloma v'suda rishona. So it's kodem achila or achar achila. Do you feed them this medicine? I call the fodder. I guess it's the medication or the test. Do you do it before or after the meal? So the Gemara says kodem achila v'ade ma'ale kisama. Now before, right? Ma'ale kisama. Now it's definitely fine, and it's definitely going to be the test is going to work. If you feed the animal the fodder before his meal, because that's like a case of medication. Rabbeinu Gershon points out, like I just said, that you usually take the medicine in those days prior to the meal. The question is la'achar achila mai. But what if you give the treatment after the meal? If you give it after the meal, is that Rashi says mi habi bedika b'hachi alo? Would this constitute a valid treatment? I guess after the meal, maybe because the stomach is full, if the treatment wouldn't work or it wouldn't be conclusive. I don't know why. All these questions I don't understand. Just do a laboratory experiment to determine whether or not it works or not before or after. But another question. Kodesh to see lachar shtiyah. What about the drinking? I guess they drank at different times when they ate. So you have to get to kodesh shtiyah v'ademali b'mishkisari. If it's definitely beneficial for the animal to have the treatment given to him before he drinks, because then you can make the determination. Right, the Ben Gansler points out that they tend to eat barley before they drink any drinks, and that's, I guess, helpful. I don't know. But the question is whether if you give the treatment after they drink, would it be an effective treatment? Right, Rashi says, okay. Then the Gemara says, okay, what about kosher umutar? Do you give this treatment when the animal is tied up or when it's free? So, mutar vadim alele. Now, if you give the treatment when the animal is free to roam around, then the treatment is definitely beneficial for it, and the animal, I guess, is more content when it's running around, and therefore it would be an effective treatment, it would work. And if it doesn't work, you know it's a mum. If it does work, you know it's not a mum. But kosher mai. But what if you give the animal the fodder when it's tied up? Is that an effective treatment? Maybe it doesn't work because if it doesn't work at that time, it's not because it's definitely a mum. It's because at that bless you. Because if you give the animal it's tied up, the medicine can't take effect. Bless you. So levadim chavero. You have to give it when it's by itself. Here's a psychological effect. You have to give it by itself, or it has to be with its friends. Im chavero marile. If the animal is given this fodder while it's with its herd, I guess that would be a valid test. The question is levadamai. What is the status of the treatment if the test is administered when the animal is alone? I guess maybe when the animal is alone, since it has these psychological effects of being alone, maybe the medication is not a valid test. And if it doesn't work, who says it's definitely a mum? But ir basada, you have to give it in the city or in the field. So basada vadamale definitely works in the field. But beir, what's the status if you give the test in the city? I don't know why that would make a difference. Why, I don't know. So Gemara says imtim shaloma basada, and if you say that you have to give this test in the field, gina smuchli mai. What if you give it in a garden that's close to the city? I guess it's the air. I guess besides the medication, there has to be certain types of air. So the air is cleaner in the country. You go upstate, it's cleaner air. So maybe that would be a valid test. But if you take the medication near a city where the air is more polluted, then maybe it would have a detrimental effect on the potency of the medication, and it wouldn't be a valid test. The Gemara says teku. All these answers are teku. Right? I don't know what do you mean teku in these instances. You have to just test it out. So I guess what you have to do is give it. Do it kodem achila, do a kodem shtiya, make sure it's not tied, and give it in the field, because those were the ones that the Gemara said it's definitely a good test. The take was only on the second part of each of those questions. Right. Okay.
You don't know. I mean, it's something that they have to determine.
Right. Right. This is in the Mishnah. This is talking about now the white flecks, right? These are so he says you have to make the examination three times within 80 days. Okay? And the Gemara says, the Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Uvad Sheyu Mishu Lashim. You have to divide it into three parts. So Rashi says three parts. If you take the 80 days, Rashi says Shumish Lashim, the Gimel Chalakim. Sheim Yirenu Hayom Mikan. If you see the first, you see the specks on day one, then you wait 26 and a half days. Then you wait another, do a test. 26 and a half days, do a test. Then 26 and a half days, do a test. Tosho says no. The first time you see it, that counts as a day. You do the test then day 40, then day 80. Right, that's my focus. Right. You have to examine the before three times in 80 days, provided those 80 days are divided into three parts. Okay. Now, again, this is with he's got the water in his eye, so you have to have this treatment to determine. So, this is a fascinating question. So, Pinchas, who's the brother of Shmuel, asks Shmuel the following question. Achal v'lo itase. Let's say the animal with this water in the eye, he ate the medication, he took the full dosage of the medication in accordance with the prescription, and he wasn't cured. So the question is now, this is now we're talking about day 80. So do we say limafreya have muma? Is the mum limafreya, meaning we view the mum as taking place on day 1, or mikan la'aba have muma? Or is he only a mum, is only determined as a mum kabul from now going forward? So the Gemara says, well, l'may nafkamina, because you didn't check, what's the nafkamina? So the Gemara says, you didn't check because you're absent testing it now. So the Gemara says, fascinating, lim imal b'pidyono, to make a, if you were moel in the pidyon money. Look at Rashi. Lim imal b'pidyono, so he says right away, we're not dealing with a bechor now. We're dealing with the same mum applied to kachim. We're dealing with a kachim animal, an animal that's supposed to be brought as a carbon. Lam b'chor b'ayi, the lo shayich be'pidjon ela b'shar mukdashim. You don't have pidjon by b'chor, you just have the b'shar mukdashim. So what happens?
V'hifrish miyah pigeon. On day one, when I see the whites, when I see the water, I separate the pigeon. Because what do you do when the kachon gets a mum? You pode it. That animal goes free. You take that money and then you buy more. You buy another carbon. So I separated my $100, whatever it is, on day one. V'amar harehen muchulos alamos halolu. And I say that the animals are going to be muchulol, it's going to be chal onto this money. V'achakak vodku. V'kodem shetikal esma b'dikasov shlosh chadashim nedim and mitchel. What did I do? I used the money before day 80. So if I say it outside, if I say that he's considered a bal mum limafreya, right, limafreya, so that means that money on day one was kachin money. I used it, I violated me'ila. But if I say that it's only mum mekal la'ava, that means on day 80 he's a bal mum. So that money never became kachin till day 80. So if I used it back then, I wasn't mo'al. I had no me'ila. It's because inside. L'may nafkimina, l'mimah b'pijono. The Gemara explains. Then moil. If we say that it's considered a mum kavua retroactively, then you were moil by using the money. Again, you have to bring the carbon and you have to pay back. But if it's mikam le'aba, it's not considered mum. Rashi says again, it turns out the chilul havi chilul. The chilul back then was chilul upijono kadosh, and the pigeon is kadosh umevin carbon meila, and you have to bring a carbon meila on this stuff. A lot of questions about this. I mean, with the question that I saw, Kiva Eger asked the question. Sorry, one second. Kiva asks, why does Rashi ask that the what we're asking about here is where you were nene from the mos of pigeon before, right? Since the he seems to have a question that even that it wouldn't be me'ila. I didn't fully understand that. I apologize. Okay, so that's the question. So Shmuel answers him a fascinating answer also. So Kari Shmuel A, Pischim Bazazu. Shmuel called him based on the following pasuk: the lame will take booty. The lame. He's calling his brother lame. Rashi says, "Hai kari pisim bazadu baz da habi davar she ain hadas soveles she yuchagrim bozen bizos klomar ta ain chamachuda." Meaning, you're not so sharp. I'm Shmuel, but you're my brother. You're not so sharp. Nevertheless, v'sheilat she'ela kazu she ain yadei tshuva. You ask such a question. It's a very derogatory thing to say. Yeah, you're not my brother. You're not the smartest guy. Normally, a cripple is not going to be able to run a 100-meter dash. But somehow you managed to ask such a question that I can't answer. I don't know. I guess he was just surprised that his brother would ask such a question. It's very weird that he would ask such a derogatory statement. All right. Next. Now we're going to go talk about the mumim. He doesn't have an answer. Shmuel doesn't answer him. Okay, so chotmo shenika v'nifkam shenistak. If the nose is punctured, nasher split, that's a mum. Sfamo shenikva v'shenifkama shenistaka, or the lip was punctured, not a split, that is also a mum. To point out that the stuff may only refer to the upper lip. I'm not sure. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, Bryce, according to Bryce, nikvu chotamim zelaze. If the nostrils are punctured, this literally this one into that one. The Gemara says, mi b'chutz have mum. The puncture has to be on the outside. That's considered a mum. Mi b'fnim ain't a mum. But the puncture is on the inside of the nostril. That's not considered a mum. Rashi says, mi b'chutz shanekem nira shenokvu michitzos hachitzono shelchotam. I guess if it's in between, what's that in between? The septum is the thing that's in between. If that's cut, then that's not a problem because that's inside. But if the right, so if the nostril on the outside, that is considered a mum. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Sifaso, the lip, shenikva v'shenifkama v'shenistika, the lip was punctured, notched, or split, that is considered a mum. Right, so they ask to have shailas. They have shailas about, what about if you have do the mumim apply across the board? What about the Kohen, who was about tshuva, and during his pre-frum life, got piercings and had nose rings? Can he, is it possible for the avoda? Is that considered a mum? That's what they ask about the Kohen. Okay, the guys, the nose.
Yeah, the mum. You
I know, but he says it's punctured. It's a mum, so I don't know. Maybe that applies or not. It's funny. I had. But can it heal all the way? I don't know. I don't know the. I don't know. The holes. Sometimes they say the hole closes up. You can see the invitation. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Amar Papa." Torah, it's funny. My sister had a friend in Israel who had a nose ring, and they're like, oh yeah, because all the avos they had nose rings. So my sister said, okay, wonderful, but they also had four wives, so I don't know if it necessarily means that you're supposed to be doing exactly the same thing. They get the little nose rings. I don't know. So Amar Papa said, Torah bara desifsei. Okay, the blemishes mentioned in the Mishnah only apply to the outer part of the animal lips, and not the entire length. I guess the animal's lips will go all the way around, I don't know the whole thing, but only the outer part of the lips, that's considered where the mum would take place. Now, we're talking a bit more about the mouth. Chutin hachitzonos shenipgemu b'shenigmu. If the front gums were notched or cut, that's a mum. V'hapenimim, and the back gums are only considered a mum if they're necro, if they're uprooted. Have to go a little bovine anatomy. The way most ruminants have their mouths, and the article here points out also, is you have the front gums that is long. So they don't have teeth all around the mouth like we do. They have, their incisors are in the front, right? And then there has a big space, and they have 24 molars in the back. The article has a nice picture of that. You have the front gums, you see, and then you have the incisors up there, then there's a space, and then the back gums, where those molars are, that's what's talking about the back gums. Okay. So let's read the Mishnah again. Chutin hachitzonos shenitkabu shenigmu. So the front gums are notched or cut, that's a mum. Hapnimiim, to get a mum on the back gums, that's nekru. They have to be uprooted. I don't know what uprooted gums are, but you have to have, I guess, to be falling out. That's how you get a mum on the back gums. But Reb Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, he says, no, ein botkim in a tiomis lifnim. We do not examine the gums. Like the tiomis is like twins. I think those means the molars, because the molars have like two types, they're like a twin tooth. The molar has a double portion on the teeth. I think that's talking about the molars. So, min the tiomis within, we don't examine the gums from the molars and within, va'ap lois atiomis. And even the gums underneath the molars are themselves considered lifnim, meaning I guess you don't take any examination, take into consideration any potential mum that would take place in the back gums. Now the Gemara is going to quote a brisa similar to the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan. Hatiomis. Regarding the molars. Ezu tiomis. What's considered the tiomis? So min hatiomis. The Mishnah doesn't make so much sense right now, so we're going to read the Mishnah, then the Gemara is going to explain it. So min hatiomis v'lifnim, from the area of the molars, that has the same status as the back of the mouth. So therefore a mum in that area would not be considered a mum. And if it's not a mum, you can't shech the bechor. Rav Yeshua ben Kufzai Omer, Rav Yeshua says, you don't shech the bechor. I mean, it's not a valid mum unless the mum took place in the front gums. And Rabbi Chanina ben Tikvas Omer, in mashkichim al tiyomis kolikor. We don't concern ourselves with the molars at all. So Gemara says, what's going on? Mike Amar. What does it say? It said tiyomis ezi tiyomis. I mean, what does that mean? What's the mitzvah saying? Besu Rabbi Yeshua ben Kufzai. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kufzai had a Tanakama. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kufzai is the same thing as a Tanakama, because a Tanakama says that. How did that work? Both the Tanakh and Shubham seem to say that the only blemish in the front gums, only a blemish in the front gums permits a shrita and not anything in the back. So it's the same shrita. The Gemara says, oh, Chesirim Mechzer of HaHafkatani. The Brisa is missing. It's lacking in the text. The Santino always explained it's a lacuna in the text. And this is how you read it. Ezehu Panemius. What are the back gums? The Mishnah said that if they're uprooted, that's considered a mum. Mean that they're notched or cut, it's not a mum. So what are those back gums? Min hatiyomes vilifnim vitiyomes atzmo lifnim. From the molars and back, inclusive of the molars, that's considered the back, and therefore it is only going to be a mum. Only going to be a mum if they're uprooted. What are we talking about? That's shenipgemu shenigmu. But that's only if they are notched or cut. Then it's not a mum. Avonekru, but if the molars and the back are uprooted, then you can shech the bechor on account of this mum. Rav Yeshua ben Kufzai Omer, comes Rav Yeshua ben Kufzai and says, no, ein shochtin ela chitzonos. We don't shech the bechor on anything that has to do in the back of the mouth. Even if it's uprooted in the back. He argues in the Mishnah. Aval pnimios, right? Aval pnimios shenekru.
So let me read again. Ein shofin ela chitzonos. We only have permission to shech the bechor if the mum takes place in the front. Now let's say you have the mum in the back, the back gums that are uprooted. So mishkat alay lo shachinan. Now you can't shech it. I mean, it's an in-between status. You can't shech it about ifsule mifso, but nevertheless you can't bring it as a carbon. So it's this quasi status. It's like a quasi bechor. The uprooted gums will not permit you to shech the bechor. I say that it's a mum kavua, but in the same token, it's enough of a mum that you can't bring it as a korban. That's what Rabbi Yeshua says. Comes Rabbi Chanina ben Tigenos and says, "Ein mashkich lat yomus kol ikar rafilo ifsol ifsol." No, a mum in the back, completely against everybody. The mum in the back of the gums is not considered a mum at all. Not only do you not bring it as a korban, but you can sheft it and eat it for chulin. It's a valid mum. Okay. So now the Gemara digresses a little bit in discussing other deficiencies. So Bayra Achad Dvoi Bar Ami, Rav Achad Dvoi asked son of Bar Ami, asked, Yesh Mechusar Eva Mi Bifnim, O Ein Mechusar Eva Bifnim. What if you have, regarding a mum, what if an internal organ is missing? Does that count as a mum or not? So if it's a mum, you can shef the animal. If it's not a mum, you can't shef the animal yet. So Lamai, so Gemara says, well, what's the Shaila for? Lamai. If you think that Yeshayahu was talked about whether you can shech the bechor outside the Beis Hamikdash now, the Torah says, Piseach o Iver ksiv. Right? It has to be lame or blind. So, Piseach o Iver, Rashi points out, the mashma begalui in Besei Shalom. Only if the mum is exposed, not if it's an internal mum. So you clearly can't be asking the Shaila regarding a missing limb, what the nafkamina would be to a bechor. A missing organ inside doesn't constitute a mum. Maybe it's a trefa, but it's not a mum. And ila kachim, and if you ask regarding kachim, even like regular other kachim, averis or shavrksu, their Torah also writes it has to be blind or broken. Also say it has to be an exposed mum. So what's your shayla? So the Gemara says now, ashute ul apruke lo ibaylan. We have no question whether the missing internal organ allows a bechor to be shechted or to be redeemed, right? The internal mum, this right, does not qualify as a mum, and therefore you can't shecht the animal. Kimoi boilan lafsule, but is it enough of a mum to passel the bechor from being brought on as a korban? Meaning, it definitely cannot be shechted. You can't have it, but can the mizbeach have it? Maybe it's one of these quasi that has a quasi status. So the Gemara says, "My, what's the halacha?" The Gemara says, "No, it says tamim yeh l'ratzon. In order to, this is the two sides of the shaila. Tamim yeh l'ratzon, it has to be complete to come to mizbeach. So tamim in chesor and lo, and this is not full. It has to be complete. This is not full. So therefore, in Eilo you can't sheft it because it's not a mum kavua, but you can't bring it on the mizbeach. Old dilma, or does it say you read the whole pasuk? Tamim yeh l'ratzon kol mum lo yebo. That tamim is defined by mum." So this is not considered a mum, so you can bring it on to the mizbeach. Ma mum mei ibrai, just like a mum has to be on the outside, afikshar mei ibrai. So to the tamim portion, it has to be on the outside. So what's the so tashma? So we're going to learn this, the answer. We're going to compare two brisos that seem to contradict each other. We spent a lot of time trying to reconcile the contradiction of the brisos. So tashma, the pasuk states in connection with bringing the karbon, it says the eshtei hakloyos, the two kidneys, right? The pasuk is the eshtei hakloyos. Two kidneys. Right? You have to have two kidneys. The low bow kulya achas, you can only bring a carbon if it has two kidneys. You can't bring an animal that has one kidney, or the low bow shalosh kulya, so an animal that has three kidneys. Those are considered invalid for the carbon. Yet, the Tana Idach, it says, yasirena. You should remove it. What's that, pasuk? Right, it says, that's a kloyos yasirena. Remove it. Talking about the kloyos, which seems to indicate kloyos in singular. Yasirena, l'rabos, why is it singular? L'rabos ba'kulya achos. That comes to include an animal that only has one kidney. So what's going on? You need two? Okay, one is enough. So savrua the kulya alma in birya achos. Now, they're going to ask, the halamita right now is to say that there's no such animal that can be born with one kidney, right? So this case now, so the animal that's found to have one kidney is the high mixer chasa. This animal must be talking to a case where the kidney was somehow lost sometime after it was born. So what's the machlokes between the mishnah, between the brisos? One says you have to have two. One says you can have one born as a carbon. So lame lo hakemifkli. So they say this is the following machlokes as follows. Demar Saba Chisaron Mifnin Shmei Chisaron. So one man, the Amr, the first Brisa, who says that it's possible if it only has one kidney, he says a missing body part internally is considered missing, and therefore it's possible, right? Umar Saba Mifnin Lo Shmei Chisaron. And the second Brisa says no, losing an internal organ is not considered lacking. It's not a deficiency, and therefore it can be brought. Nay, that's the machlokus between the two brisos. Umar says, no. Av rachia, the kuli alma yish biri b'achas. I mean, that machlokus is very difficult. You just open the animal. If you find, everyone holds that you definitely have to have, then an animal can be born with one kidney. Similar, there's a tshuva, I think it's the Chacham Svi. There is a tshuva that they shechted a chicken, and there's no heart. So can they have it? It's a treifa. Chacham Svi based on the answer is impossible. Just impossible. You couldn't have lived this long without a heart. The heart must have been lost or swallowed by, eaten by a cat or something like that. Because he said, I mean, how do you have a chicken? You can't live without a heart. It's impossible. Well, that's a similar idea. You have born without, this man said it was impossible to be born with only one kidney. Now we're saying, no, it is possible to be born with one kidney. I have a difficult time understanding these machlokos because these are all subject to determination and experimentation to figure out what the story is. So Amrachim Rayosef Kuli Alma Yisberi Be'achatz V'Chisaron B'Fnim Shmei Chisaron. Everyone agrees that it can be born with one, and if it's missing an internal organ, it is considered an organ. So now, that's the case. Why does one say one's good, one's no good? One kidney is good for a korban, one kidney is no good for a korban. The first Mishnah says Lo Kasha Kan Gishen Niver B'Shtayim B'Chasu. We know that this is an animal that was born with two, and now it's missing, right? Kan B'Shem Niver B'Shtayim B'Chasu. So everyone agrees that it's considered an internal. So if you have two, if everyone agrees that missing an internal organ is a mum, if it's born with two and now has one, that's possible. The second Bryce is talking about an animal that's born with one. So nothing's missing, so it should be fine. It's got its regular as it's born, it has all its organs. The Gemara says, no, that can't be. Because you're saying the case was that said it was no good. It was the first Bryce. It said that it had two. It has one or three. That's no good. So we're saying if it has one or three, that means it was born with two and now only has one. But that price also gives a case of three. Three. It can't be a case where you're born with two and now have three. Three is a natural occurrence. So if you're comparing the three and the two in that case, they're both natural occurrences. So that price, it can't be talking about a case where it's two and now it's missing. Because three is not that at four and now it's two and now it's three. Three is a case where it was born with three. We're talking about the natural occurrence. So the two is also natural. My shalosh mikara, just like three is a natural, afachas mikara. So to the case of the animal having one is when it was born with one. Not that it was born with two and now it's down to one. There's clearly a difference. They're both talking about both prices are talking about where it's natural. So then what's the machlokes between the first price and the second price? So Ella Haka Biyesh Birya Mikara Kamiflagi. They're disagreeing whether or not you can have an animal with one kidney to be born. One says you can have one kidney, one says you can't have one kidney. Again, this is most difficult, because again, it's subject to experimentation. Maybe they didn't do that, maybe they didn't check. Okay. Final answer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, everyone agrees that there's no such thing as an animal being born with one kidney. And likewise, everyone agrees that if you're missing a mum internally, that's considered a mum. The first brisa, which says that the animal is pusil, that is when one of the kidneys that's missing came about before shlita. It became missing before shlita. When the second brisa, which says that the animal is kosher for a korban, that's dealing with the case when the kidney got lost post-shrita. So again, I think you have the same question now, because it says, how do you have three post-shrita? Okay. It's the same question comparing the one to the three. I don't know. They took a cat skin. I don't know. Maybe they must have had a way to determine based on feel and touch whether you have one or two kidneys. I don't know how that's possible. I don't know. That's a good question. Like nowadays, you have to have some sort of internal imaging. They didn't have that then. What, then? Who? Number one, I don't know if they do that now. Number two, did they didn't have that technology then. They didn't have MRIs and CAT scans and X-rays. So the Gemara, that's, so basically now what the Gemara comes up now and says that if the Bryce is showing us that if the animal loses its limb post shechita before the other three avodos, it's still kosher. But now the animal, Gemara questions that. He says, la'achar shechita kodek abola mishari. Who says it's mutter? If you lose the organ after shechita but before kabbalas hadam, who says it's mutter? Right. So I guess there's a machlokes in the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim as to how you lumbicize this. Rav Chaim says, you see from here, there's a concept of a psul of treifa even post mortem. It still maintains its status of an animal, and the post mortem still counts towards it. Chazon Ish doesn't have that lumbic. He says no. There's a chiyuv that the animal has to be complete. Post, you know, all the way through the final process. Doesn't mean that it's considered a trade for or it's missing, it's just a different, you have to, they're saying the same thing, I think, just in different language. So, Mahamar Rabbi Zera Amarav Hatzor, you bring a raya that you have to have it all the way through Kabbalah. Mahamar Rabbi Zera Amarav Hatzor Ozan Apar Vyach Kibul Damo. You're right, you nick the ear of the bull, right, the power of the Kohen Gadol, after you shefted it. And then you put the Kabbalah Sabbatam. So, you made a soul into the par after Shechita before Kabbalah, it's puzzle. It's possible. I mean, you have to have no mumim up to the Kabbalah. Shenehama, the Pasuk says, "V'lachak midam apar, hapar shahayekvar." Yet the par that was beforehand, meaning it still has to be complete. So how are you telling me that if you have the missing the kidney post shechita, that's valid? You have to have the kidney all the way through the Kabbalah. So Gemara says, "Ela kancha chasa kodem Kabbalah." Right? Kancha chasa l'ach Kabbalah. In Echanami, we're talking about whether the kidney went missing before or after Kabbalah. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Well, the Acher Kabbalah Kodem Zrika Mishari. Don't you have to have the complete animal all the way through Zrika? So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, the Pasuk says, Set Tamim Zachar Ben Shani Yelechem. Regarding the Korban Pesach, it says, a lamb, complete, male, within its first year. So you had Tamim Ben Shana B'Shash Shechita. This means that the lamb has to be complete within its first year and at the time of Shechita. Right? So it has to be complete. You can't have a mum before shechita. And how do you know that it has to be complete and has to be a year old during the time of the other avodos? Talmud Lomar, Yihiyah. The pasuk says, in the verse, it says Yihiyah. Somewhere it says Yihiyah. So he says, it shall be, sheyu kol habiyosav tamu ben shana. Every part of it, all the times you bring it, has to be a year old and it has to be complete. Meaning the complete animal has to be all the way through the zrikas. The Gemara says no. Targum ben shana. Don't say that requirement goes on the avoda. That requirement only goes on the ben shana. It has to be 1 year old throughout the whole process. But it could be deficient and have a mum before zrika. Meaning clearly after Kabbalah, but after Kabbalah it's fine. Right, and Hakinah Mistabra, and this also makes sense because we have the following brisa: the sign of Yeshua Omer, Kol Hazvachas of the Torah, all Karbonos in the Torah, Shnishtaya Mehen Kazayis Basar Kazayis Chelev. That I guess you shechted it, and now all the meat and all the chelev got lost, except for Kazayis, still Zorik Es Adam. You still can throw the blood. Now, if you're telling me that even if it's only missing one kidney, you can't throw the blood, what's this brisa saying? That you're missing everything except for one Kazayis of meat. Clearly, when it comes to the Zrika, all you need is one Kazayis of meat. You don't need a complete animal. Therefore, the Brisa that's talking about being complete for the Korban Pesach, that's only talking about the fact that it has to be a year. It has to be a year throughout the process. It can't turn into the second year. It can't during the middle of the process. But so Gemara asks, wait a second. Wait, then Gemara says Shema Amino. So the Gemara says. Gemara says Umika midi de b'shas shechita havi b'shonet. How is it possible that when you're shechting the animal? It's within its first year. And yet it's within its second year when you talk. What happened? You go by hours. Gemara says, "Yeah." Amar Ravina zoso meres shos postlos bekachim. The Bryson basically tells us that hours invalidate the korban. Meaning, you have to know the exact hour of the day that your korban, especially my korban pesach, was born. So, if my korban pesach that I'm going to use was born the year before at 10 o'clock in the morning on Yud Dalid Nisan. So the following year, on Yud Dal Nisan, if I'm bringing this as a korban, I have to make sure my korban Pesach is completed by 10 a.m. Once 12 p.m. comes, it's possible. Maybe it only applies by Yavelos. I don't think they seem to apply in that. No, they don't seem to apply in that here. We're saying no. By kachim, we don't say that. We're saying bedafka that you have to look at the hours. The hours count. Usually, we don't do that.
I'm saying the opposite. I'm not saying it should be good that day. I said it should be not good that day at all from the beginning.
But we know that's exactly what I'm saying. We're not saying Mitzvah Yom Kippur. We're saying when it comes to the animals of Kachim, we count exactly Bidiyuk, the minutes and the hours. So we're learning it as follows, that the idea that the Karban has to be a year old has to be throughout every single process of the Karban. So if you shecht it when it's a year old, and you throw the blood after a year old, that passes it. How do you have that case? Must mean you count hours. I mean, you probably count minutes and seconds also. I don't know why you have to limit it to... I have no idea. Do you tag it? You must tag it. I guess the case is don't bring an animal that's that close. Don't bring an animal that was born the previous year on your Yudal Nisan. So you don't come into that problems. So, right. Amar Rav is also Meresh Shaos Poslos V'Kachem. Rashi says... is born at 8 o'clock during the morning. You should be careful now. You should shechta before the ninth hour. The second year. That's fascinating. Okay, so now the Gemara is going back. Right, we had the same shaila we had before. As to whether or not the missing an internal organ disqualifies a karban. So lemekatanai, maybe we say that question is really machlokas tanayim. That the pasuk states regarding an animal's genitals. It says umoch v'kasus v'nasuk v'karus, squashed, crushed, detached, or cut. Can't bring it. Now the question is: does that apply to the aver? Does that apply to the testicles? What it doesn't say in the pasuk. So kulam b'beitim, right? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that all these blemishes apply to the testicles, right? The Gemara says, wait a second, the Beitzim, these only apply to the Beitzim, below Begid, and they don't apply to the actual Aver. What if the Aver is Karus, Malch, Nasuk, and Karus? So the Gemara says, no, Ema Ach the Beitzim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, even also by the Beitzim. That's, now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Kulam Begid. All these the blemishes refer only to the damage that occurs on the member, on the Aver. Rabbi Yossi says, Malch, Vakasus, the blemishes are being squashed and crushed. That's off the Beitzim. That even applies to the Beitzim. Nasut v'karus, but being detached and cut, that's only by the Gid and not by the Beitzim. So my lav to have a mythical game. Maybe we say that this is the machlokas, right? Demar, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, who says that sabar chisaron mifnin shmei chisaron. He says they all apply to the Beitzim, meaning even if they are squashed or crushed. That's internally. You don't see on the outside. That's inside the scrotum. You don't see it. So my sabar chisaron mifnin shmei chisaron. And the other one, Rabbi Lezer, says that no, that only applies to the aver. He says, lo shmei chisaron. That's not considered a mum. So the Gemara says, no, but tispara, is that really the case? But Rabbi Yossi might sabar. Then what do you do with Rabbi Yossi? Right? Because Rabbi Yossi says that, squashed and crushed applies to the Beitzim, but detached only applies to the Aver. If he says that an internal deficiency is also deficiency, then Nasav Karos should also apply to the Beitzim. And if he says it's not considered Chisaron, then Moch Vekosus, no. Then even squashed or crushed should not apply. Well, which way is it? With Korah Dam. So Mara says, no, Ella Hacha, the Mum Shabagoli Kamifuki. The Machlok is here as to whether or not these defects, when they occur in the Beitzim, is that considered Goloi or not? Right? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Moch, Vekasus, Havi Mumma, the Kik, Mik Kavtson. Rabbi Yehuda says that Moch, squashed across Beitzim, that constitutes an exposed blemish. Why? Because the sack becomes shriveled. You can see that it becomes shriveled, and therefore that's a Mum Shabagoli. Natsuk Vekaruch, Havi Mumma, the Hatalion. And also detached or cut. Beitzim also considers a blemish, because you can see them dangling now. You see them hanging. Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov Sover, Moch v'kasus lo havimumah. He says that squashed or crushed Beitzim is not an exposed blemish. Why? Then ikara nami zimni mikatsim. Because oftentimes the Beitzim also shrivel up even when they're not cut. And nasuk v'karach, and similarly also detached and cut, is not considered a blemish. Why is that not considered a mum? They ikara nami zimni talia. Because sometimes the Beitzim also dangle within inside. That's not considered a mum. Rabbi Yossi holds no, Moch v'kasus havimumah. Squashed and crushed Beitzim is also a blemish. The ha less new, because I guess they're not. I guess they don't exist anymore. They're not. That's considered a blemish. I don't know. And nasa because rarus lavi muiva, which detached or cost, is cut is not, because even if they're cut, they still exist. When they're crushed, they're no longer considered beitzim. When they're cut off away, then they're still considered beitzim. They're there, they're just not attached. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a faithful Hanukkah. Have a good Shabbos.